The most important thing in life is the relationships we create with others. And one of the best ways to bring people into your life is to make awesome stuff and share it. But it's not always easy being a creative spirit in a challenging world.
Today, Tom Goss joins us for a live music session and to talk about how to stay artistically motivated. Listen as we talk about taking all the anger and frustration you have over other shortcomings and using it to fuel positive change in your own life.
Plus, Tom Goss goes butt naked playing a villain in the new film Out to Kill.
A new survey reveals a third of teens have no idea that HIV is a sexually transmitted disease and are more worried about being obese.
The Iranian government reports that 17% of Iranian students are gay.
And several housekeepers who worked for Michael Jackson say he was a filthy, demented drug addict.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh-hoo! Shaman!
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
Yay!
Yay!
One of our favorite people we've had the pleasure of meeting throughout the years is musician Tom Goss. Tom went from wrestling guys in college to wrestling with a spirituality in the Catholic seminary and left to come out as a gay man. Since then, he's become one of our favorite independent musicians, scoring a big hit with his sexy and hilarious tribute to thick, juicy men everywhere, Bears. Welcome back to Feast of Fun.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be here.
It's always fun to see you.
Yeah.
You're full of life. And joy.
Uh-huh.
And
you're finally taking your clothes off.
Oh, he's been taking his clothes off for years, people.
Well, what was your first shirtless video you did?
Probably Make Believe. That was 2012.
2012, okay.
And that's the stop action animation where someone's painting like dicks and things all over your face.
Well, it's not stop motion, it's time lapse.
Time lapse.
But people get confused by that a lot.
So you fell asleep. And someone set a time-lapse camera, and they wrote, like, stick dicks in here in your face. Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea. That'd be really funny. That'd be funny.
You know the internet's Lick full here. Of those pictures, right?
Yeah, so. But if it was a time-lapse video, it'd be even funnier, right?
Oh.
Like, just get a bunch of people really shit-faced and paint their face.
How was your weekend?
Awesome. I had a bunch of shows.
Yeah? Where you been performing so far?
So this weekend I was in Minneapolis, Madison, and Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were great.
And you're off on Wednesday to the game.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We also were involved in a lot of things, too. And what's interesting is, like, and we come across this theme all the time, is that it's hard to be a creative person in this world full of challenges. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the deck is stacked against you. And one thing that interests me is that a lot of LGBT people are very attracted to being artists and creative people. But young people are more interested in becoming celebrities.
Yeah, being famous.
Being famous. And so when I asked them, I was like, well, what would you like to be famous for doing? They go, I don't know. I just want to be like Kim Kardashian.
Well, it's a new generation. You don't have to do anything to be famous.
Do you?
Well, you do have to do things. You should have some kind of talent, right?
Well, I mean, you don't have to.
I mean, Kim made that sex tape.
Yeah.
That, you know.
That takes a lot of talent.
You know, it takes a lot of talent to have sex, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess.
She had a great comeback. Thank you, Chris Pratt, for that joke. Just want to do it. I love Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Or you just buy your way into it like she really did.
And you know, and we interact with a lot of people, and sometimes they come in, you know, they come into the studio here, and they're we have to talk them off of a ledge. You know, because artists are like really, you know, live challenging, difficult lives. And sometimes they take it on us personally, mm-hmm. or they take it on themselves internally. And
I have the same problem. I get sick of talking to my artist friends because they're always like,
we just before taping this podcast, we heard the news that Robin Williams had committed suicide, and he was a fantastic comedian and artist. And so you still have the kinds of challenges that he represents, is you can be this brilliant person, but you have these demons inside you have to contend with.
And so, you know, we were at the street festivals and we were dealing with like people that were really difficult and challenging. Uh-huh. You know, in vernacular, assholes.
Uh-huh.
And so I posted this on Facebook. I said, I want everybody who listens to this podcast or sees this post to take all the anger and frustration and resentment that you have over others' shortcomings and use it to feel positive change in your own life. Be the change you want to see in others, especially when others are difficult to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in talking about this with you, Tom, because you have you've really grown as a musician, probably more than anybody we know throughout the years. And you've started to show your humor, your sexuality,
your butt
in music videos.
And well, the butt's in a movie that's coming out.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've managed to stay motivated to do all this stuff, even in a music industry that's really set up for artists in your shoes to fail.
Well, yeah, the independent music business is set up to take advantage of the independent musician. And there's no doubt about that. And that's really frustrating. So I think a lot of times I'm always thinking outside the box and how to do this successfully. But as an artist, I'm not sure that I really fully understood myself as an artist until the past couple of years. And I've really kind of grown into myself as that, because I wasn't an artist for so long. You know, I was an athlete or whatever. And then, you know,
what changed in you?
You know, I graduated from college and that's it. Then there's no more wrestling. And then,
no, but what are you saying? Like, you're saying, last
you mean
couple
when
of years,
when I embraced myself,
you
as
had
an artist?
a different change. What changed for you?
To be honest, I think growing up, I think being an athlete is a completely different mentality than being a musician, right? Like, growing up, you know, my parents literally owned a gym when I was born, and I started doing gymnastics as soon as I was out of the womb, essentially.
You're doing handstands instead of walking.
Yeah, so that's a sport that demands perfection all the time. You know what I mean? So I think when you're a really disciplined athlete, it's always demanding perfection. You can't fuck up or you're going to lose. And I think being an artist is completely opposite. And I think for years, I would really focus on the things that weren't perfect about what I was doing. And I think I finally just embraced, like, well, this is what I do. This is what my voice sounds like. This is what my message is. How can I be the truest and most authentic to that, even when it's not perfect? You know what I mean? And so I'm always trying to do the best that I can do. But I think being an artist is more about being your best and being your most authentic rather than being the perfect thing and scoring the 10.0. You know what I mean?
So, I think there's a lot of money to be made in keeping people disconnected from each other and keeping them silent and not expressing themselves or being creative. And I got the idea for doing the show from one of our listeners, Hannah, who was asking me for a crack to the Kim Kardashian app, who's raking in millions of dollars.
She has an app?
Yeah, and the app basically is, the plot of the app is how you can become a successful celebrity without working or doing anything of significance, and how do you have to kiss the paparazzi's ass? And, you know, there's one.
But is it a game?
It's a game.
It's an app. Oh. Yeah, it's like a game on your app.
And it's the most successful game right now. And it really disturbs me on a deep level, because it's like, it's the, you know, all these young people are thinking like Kim Kardashian's life is something to aspire to.
Yeah.
And I would say it's like the whatever Kim Kardashian does, do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a difference between being a hard worker and feeling entitled.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I work my ass off all the time. You know,
you used
to
wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, why am I not sounding like Dave Matthews?
Yeah, of course. Am I not sounding like any of the other artists that I hear on the radio? And I think the thing that people love about me is the fact that I am not that. I'm very flawed as a singer. You know what I mean? I think I'm an exceptional writer and storyteller. And I think the fact that I am flawed and I'm being authentic is the thing that connects with people. You know, if I was perfect and if I just relied on my perfect voice, you know what I mean, and just let the other people do the other work, that kind of comfort and authenticity would never shine through.
Is the change that you experienced in the last 2 years is somewhat giving up on the idea or dismissing the idea that you're a musician because you want something as bullshit as fame or money, or you're doing it because it's fun for you?
Oh, I'm doing it for a lot of reasons, but I don't know. I mean, I think for a long time, I believed that my projects were good because of the other people involved in the projects. not thinking about the one common denominator in all the projects. And it was actually my 2012 record, Lost Songs and Underdogs. And this is the big reason why I did it. I just disappeared into the woods, into a cabin, and did the entire record by myself and didn't let anybody, even Mike, listen to it until it was done.
Mike is your partner, your husband.
My husband. And I, you know, I played all the instruments. I did all the editing. I did everything. And then I put it out. You know what I mean? And I realized that I could do much more than I believed if I just, you know, believed in the thing that I was doing.
And how did that album's success match the other albums? Did it surpass it? Was it equal to it?
You know, I mean, just the same. I mean, it's definitely different. It's definitely it's a pretty dark record. And I think that when I put out a record like Wait, my new record, people love it and they immediately write me and tell me how much they love it. And with that song, to be honest, people didn't really get it. But I would get the emails 9 months later. They would say, you know, I just had a glass of wine and I sat down. Because you have to ingest that album. And if you do, you'll get it. But you can't just put it on and vacuum around the house because it's not going
to
work.
You have to sit down and listen to it.
Yeah, you have to listen to it.
You know, in doing this podcast for us, one of the common questions we ask is, how many people listen? How much money are you making? It's never about like, what kind of impact have you had on people's lives?
Sure.
How has your own life and your relationships changed? How have you come closer with other people?
Yeah.
You know, and that, to me, I find those questions much more interesting because it's about what ultimately we want, which is a fulfilling life.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, I spent years looking at numbers and looking at data and doing everything based on data. And now, you know, last year I just kind of just said yes to anything that was cool. And now if I think it's cool, if there's a collaborative effort that I think is cool, I'll say yes. And I don't look at the money and I don't look at the numbers. But as a result, the money and the numbers come more so than when I was focusing on it in directing things.
So say yes to everything, huh?
That's cool. Say yes to everything that's cool and interesting and it's experience, it's artistic. Just do stuff that's out of your comfort zone.
Because, you know, one thing like, and I don't want to be vulgar here, but it's me, kids. It's like, you know, size queens. They're like, you know, they won't have sex with a person or even consider being friends or even talking to them if they know that their dick is under 7 inches.
I've never heard of this in my life.
They're like,
who do you hang out with?
On the internet, in bars. I had one guy come up to me and I'm just like socializing with him. And he leans forward to my ears and goes, how big is your dick? And I was just like, what the hell does that have? We are talking about the stressful situation in the Middle East right now. You know, it was literally like
a little break.
Well, maybe he thought you could solve the problem with like,
if you have a big dick, you can create miracles, kids. But just because you are modest does not mean that you can. It's the motion of the ocean, not the size of the ship. And to me, it's like too many people just are focusing on like who's not there, how this, especially when you're interacting with other people artistically. And there's this idea that if I get to hang out with my favorite drag queen, if I get to be in the show that I want to audition for, my life will be better. And ultimately, all those things are not going to get to you to one thing, which is satisfaction and happiness.
Yeah.
It's making stuff. It's creating, not consuming, that's going to bring about change in your life and be the best person you can be.
I agree. Create awesome shit.
So we went on the internet and looked at, you know, Googled sites that had Gandhi's quote, be the change in yourself.
That you want to see in the world.
That you want to see in others. That was Mahatma Gandhi, who had sex with a bunch of women, right?
It's like, I guess he would sleep in a big pile of people. Yeah. And I think mostly women, like 20 or 30 women. I think one of them was his niece or something. It was weird.
But he was celibate for a long time.
I'm not really sure what was going on.
Well, see, the movie Gandhi was like 3 hours long, and so that
you didn't get any cut the sex scene. The cup shot was just they got rid of it.
So we found this one blog on mindbodygreen.com, and they put a pretty good list of how to be the change you want to see in the world by changing yourself. And I think one of the things that I have to remind myself, and it's about like, you know, focusing on your assets, is to be grateful and be joyful about the things that you have in your life.
Of course.
And yeah. especially the people, too.
But there's so, yeah, and it's easy to not be grateful because you take an inventory of everything that's happening in your life and you're just like, this is shitty, this is shitty, this is shitty. But, you know, if you look at the other stuff that is positive, it's like, wow, that really outweighs everything that's shitty.
Yeah.
Well, and you'd be frustrated. You get to a gig, they pay you like $50 and they treat you like shit.
Yeah.
And the gig starts 3 hours late. Mm-hmm. And then when you're performing, the audience can't hear you on the microphone.
Yeah.
And they don't pronounce your name correctly. And then when you're done, they're almost like regretting or like hostile to you even being there.
Uh-huh.
And it's a situation where you're like, but you know what? My fans are here in the audience. And they came to see me.
It's about the fans. It's not about anything else.
Because I saw Natasha Bedingfield backstage, and she was just like piss and vinegar.
Well, it was a tornado going on.
And you know
and
what?
The stage was flooded.
The stage was flooded. The tornado was about to kill everybody, but her fans braved.
We're just sitting there?
We're saved there.
Because we were under protection. They were out in that weather.
And Mark and I also went to see Kiss in concert. And we sat through a monsoon, I mean, just this torrential rain pour. And so when Kiss finally came out to the concert, he said, you know what? I'm so glad all you, you know, the Kiss Army is here. We made Kisstory because you guys sat through hell and high water and you're still here to see the greatest band in the world. And we love you for that. But, you know, Natasha Bedingfield didn't acknowledge the gift that is an ability to create something and share it with others.
Well, and I feel like that every night because I remember what it was like a year ago or 5 years ago. You know what I mean? I mean, when I show up and people show up and people are really attentive when I play and everybody shuts up and I see what happens to other people and I always feel very grateful.
What advice, I mean, because you work with a lot of musicians and you're very connected to a lot of LGBT artists. And you see them sometimes being really negative. Is there anything that you can do or is it just like lead by example?
I mean, I can't, you know, I don't really focus on other people that much. I focus on me. Even the people, the only time I focus on other people, it's kind of weird. Even if I don't like what the person is doing, I often try to find what is it about their art that's connecting with other people? You know, for me, it's everything I do is a learning experience. You know, so it's like if I see somebody and I'm not into their music, but I see, you know, 5,000 people just screaming their heads off. I have to ask myself, like, OK, what is it about me that's disconnected to this? And how can I learn from this, whatever this person is doing, you know, and bring it to my show?
So maybe the reason I hate Kim Kardashian is really says a lot more about me than it does about her.
Well, you're going to hate her even more because they say actually that app is going to make like $200 million by the end of this year.
Oh my God. I don't think I want to live in this world anymore.
The thing is too, is like, if you want to succeed on it, you can buy your success on that game.
Really?
And so one editor from a magazine spent $500 just kind of like tooling around on it. It's ridiculous. Oh, wow.
Well, the thing about that is Fusta, were you trying to build an app in like $200 million?
No.
So who cares? That's the thing. How
part of me
be
is that because
that?
I care about the welfare of people, and I find that, you know, as somebody who comes, I think LGBT people come from broken homes or communities that don't embrace us or appreciate us. We come from hostile environments as young people, and so we get, and it's proven through a lot of research and science that we're attracted to this idea of fame as a way of coping with all this stress and trauma that we've experienced in our younger lives. And so as somebody who wants to build a better world for young people and for our audience, I see this like chasing after Kim Kardashian as one. It's like, you know, seeing half of your community become addicted to crystal meth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, crystal meth can be fun and, you know, in moderation, all things. But it's still, you know, a drug that Hitler
but
did.
But beware of judging people, though, Fausto, because maybe they see something in Kim that you don't.
Yeah, and
maybe you need to keep an open mind.
If all they do is
things.
Buy the app and spend $2.99 becoming famous, and that's Kim Kardashian in moderation, in my opinion.
Hold on,
it's
a
not
second.
Like you actually have to make a sex tape with her.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like you have to hang out with her and Kanye.
Guys, can you stop talking for a second? I'm playing the app right now. This game is really good.
make your ass bigger. Get it plumped.
Oh my God, let's go
buy
shopping.
A house in Malibu.
I'm tired. So in the game, like she gets tired, and you can buy like Red Bulls. For her, and she gluck, 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 and drinks it, and she's like, I'm excited!
Really?
Let's fuck! So what else? Accept things for what they are. Fighting the things that can't be changed is the surest route to unhappiness. Instead, accept and make the best of your situation as you even try to make changes.
In other words, give up.
You know what's funny? I feel like I have this conversation all the time because Mike does all the things wrong.
Your partner.
Because he's always trying to change things that can't be changed.
No, referring to my career.
Oh.
He gets super pissed off about everything. Why don't ask this person to do this? Why don't this person? And he's always like trying to. And my thing is like, what are we doing in this family? What are we not doing in this family, as I say? He's like, escalate things. Because you take one little thing, you know, somebody did a video and it did really well and somebody picked it up or whatever. And it's easy to be like, why don't they pick up my sweetie's video? And his stuff is so good and da-da-da. And it turns into like, well, everybody hates you and this and this and this, or they did this or da-da-da-da. And it just like turns into this whole fucking big thing.
Couples have the tendency to do those kinds of things, escalate. It's just like, I get mad about something, then Foster gets even madder about it. He gets mad about something and I get even madder about it. He's just like, why are you even mad about that? I'm like, you were mad about it first.
But I hate stress so much. I don't like it. So when he starts doing that and I feel my stress energy go up, it's like, this is only stressful because you're making it stressful. This is a make-believe reality you've created.
You gotta sing Let It Go to him.
Let it go.
Practice compassion. And why this is like, I've said to every actor that ever is frustrated with auditions, Terry Garr told us on this show that the job of an actor is to audition for roles they'll never get. And that 1% of those auditions lead to what your career is built on. And that's just the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae of work that the actor has to go through. When I say like, if you can ever be on the casting situation of a play or a production or a TV show, it's very insightful because there's a lot of money and a lot of people's effort and energy riding on the success of an actor to be able to deliver the role.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with you if they say no.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be in this play or in the show, in this movie.
But what if you're perfect for that role and they just don't see it?
That's okay. That's their mistake to make. And it's their money. It's their time. It's their ass on the line. If you suck as an actor, you just be in another show. And that's the end of the world. For them, they lost their car. They lost their home because you sucked as an actor, you know? It's like, so there's more riding.
Yeah, you don't have a car anyway.
Well,
what do you got to lose?
But usually, like in those situations, you know, the producers, the director, the casting people are the ones who are financially tied to the project, and the actors are just there.
Well, and again,
going back to
the first point, it's like they're not the person making you. You're making yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want to be seen as an actor, well, make some cool stuff. And you can do that with your friends. I mean, it's 2014. You can make anything that you want for almost nothing.
Paint a picture. Make a video. Write a poem. Start a manifesto. Start a revolution. Right now, Disney and RCA Records and Sony and Kim Kardashian Incorporating are spending a lot of money to keep you quiet. Because when you start speaking your mind, dear listener, that's when the revolution takes place.
No, I disagree with that statement that you've said a couple times already. I don't think people are spending money to keep you quiet. I think people are spending money to be louder than you.
Well, it's a situation.
I don't think anybody's trying to impress me.
I think part of it is, I think there is a big Hollywood or corporate media does feel threatened by the user-generated content, and they do go out of their way to create situations that discourage people from expressing themselves by creating an environment where everybody believes that making a lot of money or having 2.5 million followers on Twitter somehow becomes the measure of success. And you actually wrote a song about this. Statement in your new album, Wait. Yeah, gotcha.
Fuck you.
Let you right into that one, Tom.
It's called It Only Takes One.
No, wait.
Is that what the song is about?
No, if you want to say I wrote a song about it, you should talk about it. We should be playing Wait.
Wait.
Because Wait is more about like.
Wait, don't tell me. The radio
exactly.
Program.
No, it's about.
The quiz show.
It's about the industry and people trying to change you and make you into something that you're not to make money off you when authenticity is what you should be striving for.
Do you want to? Can you play that for us?
Sure.
Okay, ready?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Wait. I just don't want to wait.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm going to do a lot of stuff with Foster and Mark, but nobody wants to buy it because I don't have a big booty like Kim Kardashian. Wait, I kind of got a little
actually,
bit of a big booty.
Actually, if you and Mark made a porn video,
people would buy it.
People would make a lot of money. Sorry, people. You're going to have to be satisfied with this podcast.
But I did take a picture of Tom's butt in that in the movie he has coming out. I took a picture of
wait,
the screen.
Wait, but hold on a second. Let's listen to the song Wait okay. first.
And okay. then we'll talk about Tom's butt?
Yes.
I got a friend in West Virginia. Says I'm everything to him. Says my words, they sound like scripture, whoa. And not the napkin they're written in. He says, wait, you'll be on your way. He says, wait, just another day. You gotta write you that perfect song. Sell your soul, cash your check, and move on. Soon I made it down to Georgia. Another bar, another night. Some man said he knew John Mayer. Whoa. The stars were always in his eyes. He says, wait, you'll be on your way. He says, oh, wait, just another day. You gotta write you that perfect song. Sell your soul, cash your check, and move on. Across the country to Los Angeles. Pretty people, they stop and stare. Said I'm a singer, yeah, they know the type, whoa. A dime a dozen everywhere. They said, oh, wait, you'll be on your way. They said, oh, wait, just another day. You gotta write you that perfect song. Sell your soul, cash your check, and move on. They said, oh, wait, you'll be on your way. They said, oh, wait, just another day. You gotta write you that perfect song. Sell your soul, cash your check, and move on.
Tom Goss. Wait. Your new album, The Wait Is Over, it's here.
It's here.
It's available through our website, feastoffun.com. It is Tom Goss's most sophisticated, awesome, delicious work. If you're a fan of his music, as you've heard him throughout the years on the show, you need to go buy the whole album because
it's amazing.
Extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
I wouldn't be telling you that if, you know, if I didn't think that. And you guys have heard musicians come on the show and we start talking about Lady Gaga with them. It's because I'm like, this music's kind of...
And if you buy Tom's album and you write to me and say, and show me a picture of you with Tom's album, I'll send you a picture of his butt pic.
Ew. So, what is up with his butt? Where'd you get a picture of his butt?
Well, because he's in... What's the name of the movie?
So I've got a movie coming out. It's called Out to Kill. It's a Rob Williams film. We shot it last fall. It's right now making the film festival round. So it's been in a lot of cities. And it goes out on
not
DVD
the one
and streaming
that
the fall.
Not the late Robin Williams, who just passed away.
No, Rob Williams.
Rob Williams, okay.
Yeah, he's a writer and director.
We actually
interviewed him before on this podcast. He did a bunch of gay movies. Joel Bryant and Devin Green have had some parts in some of his stuff. He does a lot of gay stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in this movie, it's great because Tom, who's really one of the nicest, sweetest guys in the world, plays a full-on jerk, narcissistic asshole.
Yeah, not very nice.
who gets what's coming to him.
Or does he?
Or does he not?
Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Well, let me just say, the suspense is pretty much like Law & Order, only it takes place in a gay pool party with lots of chiseled bodies.
Uh-huh.
And you're the douchebag who... is the fart in the room is the what is
the fart?
You're the rotten apple in the apple bobbing contest.
I'm not a very nice character. Yeah,
his name is Justin James.
Justin James.
And he did a little video, a music video out there, which is a total send up of Caswell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, Caswell's a nice guy, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have no beef with Caswell, but it was just poking fun at it, you know, like ice cream truck.
And you were doing this as the character, but some people don't get that. They think like, what?
Yeah, people thought
this
I was.
This is a weird route Tom's taking.
They were like, Tom, you sold out. Why is your hair like that? Why is your outfit like that? And I was just like,
because you're giving us total Davey Wavy douchiness.
You know what? I want to be like, just the comment is like, the comment section of the YouTube videos are like 2 sentences long. Just take, you know, four seconds and read that before you get so upset about something. You know, it's not hard.
Well, it's like, you know what the world needs more of? Is YouTube comments.
They're so enlightening.
Yeah. I just love really reading just... N-word. Get AIDS and die, you faggot.
Windows to the soul, all of them. To the human
I'm really
soul.
Glad that Google Plus integration really solved that problem with YouTube. So in the movie, you're pretty much naked throughout the film.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or it's insinuated. When you were actually shooting it, were you actually naked?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you pop a boner? Because you were so turned on by the cameras.
No, it was November, and it was freakishly cold in Tampa. We were shooting in Tampa, and most of my scenes are in an unheated pool. So mostly I was just freezing my ass off the entire time.
Well, you looked
hot. Is that why your nipples were so perky?
Did you have any qualms about doing nude scenes?
Well, I mean, I knew that there's not full frontal in it. You know what I mean?
So, why is there not full frontal?
Because I'm not really interested in doing
that. The
script
didn't call for it. It just only called for my butt.
Yeah. No, it was just like, you know, I mean, you know, I know Rob. I've known him for years.
You trust him.
I trust him. He's a good guy. We talked about what was going to happen, and that's fine. And I mean, you know, I have no issues with being naked. I mean, that's cool, fine, whatever.
We interviewed one of those guys from one of those gay movies, it was a hot little muscle Jewish redhead.
Chuckerman something.
Yeah, Chuckerman.
Brett Chuckerman. He was in Eating Out.
Two sloppy seconds. And I asked him about the same thing, and he was just like, they tricked me into showing my ass.
Oh, really?
No, it was his full frontal, because he's like, he didn't realize that it was going to show, or he didn't realize because technology was changing that people could like play it on their computer and just do a snapshot of that one thing. So it kind of freaked him out. I guess he's like on one of those QVC shopping network kinds of things now,
ooh,
I think.
Nice.
That's got to be a good job, right?
No, Rob said that a lot of people were always freaked out about it. He was like, probably because I've never acted before, so I don't know what the protocol is. Mm-hmm. But he told me a lot of stories about any other times, and he was like, I couldn't believe it. You would just like take your pants off and do the scene, and I was like,
I'm easy.
You're so chill, you know, and you're like, you could be this like, you know, drugged out sex fiend.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you like us?
Because I don't know, because I've met you.
You're like, don't do what Fausto and Mark do. No, but I mean, like, you know, you're traveling around the country, you're performing in all these venues, you're away from your husband who adores you. I can imagine that it sometimes can be like a little bit difficult just to,
you know, there's times when I mean, you know, and I think that, you know, we're monogamous as well, which is hard because we're away from each other half the year. And I do think there's moments where I feel lonely, you know what I mean? And I don't think it's so much that I want to have sex, but I want the intimacy and the touching and all that comes with that. But you know, my parents were not good
at
to
what?
Each other,
what
at being together. You
that's
know what
why
I mean?
They divorced, right?
Yeah. And so all my examples of relationship has been really bad. And I see something in us that's really great and really beautiful. And to be honest, I never thought I was going to get married, and I never thought I'd have that. And so for me, that's much more important than, you know, having sex with some person that I met. You know what I mean? So It's really that simple.
Well, and you know, just because you fall off the horse once or twice doesn't mean you don't stop riding it.
You look very handsome today, by the way.
Oh, we are so good in bed together, aren't we? No, was it hard to like memorize all those lines? Because you had like half the movie is yours.
Yeah, so honestly, one of the reasons that I agreed to do the script is because I'm such a mean character and they end up killing me.
Giving it away. You're not supposed to give it away.
It's a murder mystery.
Oh. Yeah. So you're the body. You're like the clue.
And we have to hate you so that when you're dead, we're kind of glad you're dead.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about my ability to memorize lines, to be honest with you. But yeah, it turned out I could do it.
Well, if you can memorize a song, you should be able to memorize.
You know, it takes me so long to memorize a song.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's my song. I can figure it out, you know.
And you always want to change it as you memorize it, too. You know? Yeah,
but that's good. Once you stop thinking about it, then the lyrics become what the lyrics end up being.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so you're memorizing all these lines, and you said that some of the actors didn't have their lines. So you were like mouthing their lines.
It was funny. There was one scene in particular where like I'm being a total asshole and the guy keeps forgetting his line. And I would just say my line and then say his line because he would just sit there like, and then I would just say his line and then I would respond to myself saying his line.
And he's like, listen.
Yeah. Look, I don't do stuff that I don't want to do well. If I, you know, mm-hmm. and that's part of the reason it took me a little bit time to agree to this or not, because mm-hmm. it was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to look the part. I'm going to play the part. I'm going to have my lines. I'm going to be professional about it.
So. How long did you keep that haircut that they gave you with the bleach blonde?
Pretty awesome, huh? Well, I mean, I went home and I got it dyed back to my normal color.
Oh, really? You're like, this has got to go. You didn't just let it grow out.
No. And that's really funny. Like when I'm at these film festivals and people see the movie and then they see me afterwards, it's like, I'm so glad you changed your hair. Like your hair is so much better now.
Like I had it for 3 days.
And I have to say to them, like, that's a character in a movie that you just saw. That's not my real hair. You know what I mean? Or they say to me like, I'm so glad. Like, why are you so mean? And I'll be like, that's a character. Like you're so weird.
Well, let's recreate some of the scenes because we actually have an actor from Out to Kill here. Tom Goss playing Justin James. Uh-huh. I'll play the inspector that's...
private detective.
The private detective that's intrigued by you.
That's okay. Not quite used to his caps on his teeth yet.
Oh, stop it.
Hi, Justin. How are you doing? Are you enjoying the party?
Better now that you're here.
Would you like for me to top your drink for you?
Thank you.
I smell a mystery unfolding in the air. Maybe it's time to get up to the bottom of it. Out to Kill has a lot of scenes with Tom Goss naked. And you actually sing
in the frontal.
Well, there's, you know, like there's a arm blocked where your dick should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very big arm.
Yeah, dude, I'm huge.
Because when you're a short guy, your dick looks bigger on camera.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I should have done full frontal. Damn it.
Damn.
But you want warm water. You want a Hollywood loaf. You want to work it up a little bit.
You want a little
like semi-hard.
Chaka chaka before the scene starts. So you had sexual scenes with some of the actors where you're like trying to pretend like you were attracted to them.
Yeah, so I'm a very, very creepy, hypersexual, manipulative person. And ooh. So, you know, so my manipulation is my sexuality. So, you know, so I sleep with people and then never talk to them or use them, essentially. And people don't like that.
No. They like to cuddle afterwards.
Well, you don't mind it so much.
Well, I just want a little bit of respect afterwards. Goes a long way.
Okay.
One time hooked up with this one guy and he spit on my face like a llama.
Afterwards?
No, during. It, like at a zoo, you know?
What did you say?
I said, am I at the zoo? What are you? Just, you're spitting at me like an animal? I was like, it was crazy. Have you ever been spat at by like a monkey or a...
I've been spat at by a llama.
You know, you're the monkey.
We used to aggravate the llama just to see if it would spit. Do stuff.
And it's so disturbed. Like when a person spits at you.
Wait. What happened? How did this end? Did you just keep having sex with
him? No, I got up and left. I said, get out of the backseat of my car.
Just roll with it.
I said, it's time for you to go, Tom.
I'm not into this.
No, it was a situation where I was like, I was just kind of shocked by it. And he just went,
I thought you'd like that.
Spit. And then I was like, what the hell are you doing? So I wiped up and I just like got, you know, got out of the diner that we were sitting in. And I was at a party the next day. And my friends are like, oh,
let me introduce you to my friend.
He's I was like, no. That's the spitting llama.
He's like, oh, yeah, he's dirty.
He's a dirty real like dirty that. Pig.
Hey, our Kickstarter is doing quite well.
Yay!
We've got 10 days left, 162 backers. And as of the time of this recording, we've had pledged $8,647.
Nice.
So we're over three quarters of the way there. Brad writes on the page, and I encourage all the people, if you support the project, to go leave a comment because people look at that kind of stuff. Brad writes, I'm excited to see what Mark and Fauser can produce when they have the same drive and financial support that they have for their podcast. I know it will be a quality investment for me and all the other backers. That's very sweet of you to say, Brad.
Well, if we have Sharon Needles in the web series, I have to say that about, you know, half the money's going to go to find Colombian cocaine.
And then Michael writes, just doubled my pledge. Time is running out.
More cocaine for Sharon Needles.
Want this so much, and it would be great for you to get this project up and running so as to diversify your portfolio. Fingers crossed for the last plunge towards the finishing line. Thank you so much, Michael. He went from 50 to 100.
Well, the thing about it is that if we don't get to the goal, there's only like 10 days left. We still have about $4,000 to raise or something.
I'm going
to
donate today.
Aww. I appreciate that.
You donate every time you sing for me.
Thank you.
You have a song. It takes only one.
It only takes one.
It only takes... Well, what's the name of the song?
It only takes one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Then you're going to sing it?
Goo. Wait.
It only takes one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to sing it. And it really is about what we were talking about earlier. Is it's just that, you know, the one thing to turn around your day or to turn you into the person that you strive to be, you know, but taking those steps to be the man that you want to be. Unless you're a woman. Then you can be the woman you want to be.
It only takes one good swing, it's gone. And just when you thought you had it wrong, it only takes one good lover to forget the rest. So lay down your lies. It's alright. Let's take back the night and finally let go. Hold on tight. It's just it takes a lifetime to know. It only takes one moment to feel all that we've chosen not to see. And wrapped up in the right touch, we finally know the truth. So don't fall in line. And it's alright. Let's take back the night and finally let go. Hold on tight. It's just it takes a lifetime to know. It only takes one to heal a heart. And it's alright. Let's take back the night and finally let go. Hold on tight. It's just it takes a lifetime to know. It's alright. Let's take back the night and finally let go. got it all.
Tom Goss. It Only Takes One from his new album, Wait. Wait, Don't Tell Me.
You love that record, right?
I think it's wonderful. I don't like
that. What are your favorite tracks on that record?
It Only Takes One and Wait.
Those are both awesome.
And since your publicist, once again, did not get us the album until the minute before we started taking this.
I sent it to you twice.
It's probably around here somewhere. I just, you know, things.
See, this is the thing. If you put candy in the CD, then I would have gotten it.
I put full frontal pictures in
there. There's no nudity in the
Well, the ones I sent you.
No.
You don't have to dig through the pile of crap over there and see where it is. I'm sorry, Tom.
No, but so you were saying,
I don't have an intern.
If you put a box of chocolates in with the CD, dear listeners of musicians out there, then Mark will open it, eat all the chocolates, and lose then, the CD.
And then put that in the pile of stuff.
I did see that box of chocolate, and I was a little upset there was none left.
It wasn't that horrible, and guess who ate them all?
Assuming Mark.
I ate some. I have issues, Tom. I have eating issues.
Mark always does that. Like, he like buys me something, and then I come back the next day and it's gone. I'd be like, what happened to this thing that you bought me?
He's like, I got hungry.
And you know what I love to do is get up those romantic box of chocolates with all the different flavors and nuts and nougats and caramels. And then I like to take and eat half of them and put it back into the box.
And then give it to Mark?
And then be like, I don't like that one.
I don't like this one. You eat it.
You eat this one. You eat it. I don't like that one.
You know, it'd be funny if you actually did that at Walgreens. No, I don't want this.
That's why I get kicked out.
Yeah, or say like you didn't like 20% of them, so if you get a 20% discount.
What should you do? You buy it, take it out into the thing, eat half, like bites, and be like, none of these are good.
That's terrible.
They just leave. I want my money back.
Do you have any of the color-changing chocolates? No, that's ice cream. No, I saw it on the internet. It's color-changing chocolates.
There's a new report coming out of Iran. It's done by the government, and they interviewed a bunch of students, like 142,000 students. And what they discovered is that 17% of those students identified as gay. Isn't that amazing? 17%.
In Iran?
In Iran.
It's Iran.
And that young adults are 80% of unmarried females have boyfriends. And it's like, you technically, like, it's illegal to have sex if you're not married. But sometimes they you employ, like, these temporary marriages. Like, you can have it's the weirdest thing. And I guess clerics use it. Their religious people use it every now and then so that they can get their funk on.
Like, you get married for a night?
You get married for a night, a week, 2 weeks, a month, a couple, you know, but it's not like a permanent marriage.
And I've got to tell you, like, we, throughout the years, have had some really cute, gorgeous Iranian listeners. Tayvon.
Ooh, he was cute.
And he actually came to a listener meetup in Los Angeles. And I was like, damn, honey, are you a supermodel? He's like, yes, I am working as a model in the modeling in France and Los Angeles, but my family is from Iran, and you know. And I was just like, man.
Well, some of them are very, very handsome with their dark features, and some of them have these beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah, he looked like he was sculpted by Muhammad.
No, they don't like sculptures
God
over there.
Yeah, that's true.
No representation.
No representations of the human form.
He was
that
abstractly beautiful. In a symbolic sort of way. You have you do a song with Matt Alper.
Yeah, it's called Breath and Sound.
And it's like, you're beatboxing in it.
No, I played it on podcast last time I was here, and you told me how beautiful it was.
And you're like, hey, 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 it's Matt Alper.
And I'm gonna sing a song for you. And it's gonna sound real cool.
Foster did that on the podcast. He was like, yeah, I've been hearing that since I was a kid. Okay.
It's Matt Alper.
No, I played that last time I was here, and you told me, you were like, of course it was off air, but you were like,
I liked
it. Your songwriting is so good. I got a little weepy when you were singing that song.
I know. If I had a botched facelift last summer, and so I don't cry anymore. But if I could cry,
Tom Goss would be the one to make me cry.
Yeah, I think it's really great that you try different styles, and you're always like are experimenting with your own expectations of what you do for an audience. And I think that's such a secret to being motivated artistically. And I think sometimes when people make a lot of money as as creative people, they feel like they're forced to do a certain thing for the rest of their lives.
Sure.
You know, and I would, I'm not going to say any names, but you guys know they're the most amazing, creative, gifted artists. But when they usually talk about their own work, they're just like, I hate this. You know?
Yeah. You feel trapped. Yeah. So I'm always trying to do something different. You know, actually, Matt Albers really taught me a lot about that, just watching him work. And he, I think, is a consummate artist, and he always does what he thinks he should be doing next. And he never thinks about what anybody's going to think about it. And as an end result, people always love it.
He has no fans.
That's not true at all.
Tons of fans.
I'm just kidding.
He performed at the Lincoln Center.
He did.
Yeah.
But it was
he's going to, right?
It was alley behind it.
Stop it.
Hey, that's my alley. You stay out of there,
Matt. It was in the street after the show when people were coming out. He was like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins with an accordion and a drum kit on his back doing poetry and anyways, moving on ahead. There's a new survey that reveals a third of teens have no clue that HIV is a sexually transmitted disease.
What?
Where do they think they get it from?
From kissing. I don't know. the study did not reveal where they exactly thought HIV comes from. 88% of American teenagers don't perceive themselves to be at risk for HIV infection at all. In contrast to the study, they're more concerned with the risk of developing cancer. So 22% as opposed to 38%, diabetes, heart disease. And the study also revealed that teenagers are as concerned about being obese as they are catching HIV.
Well, the thing is, like, how many of these kids are actually sexually active? I didn't have sex when I was in high school. I know kids these days, more of them do, but, you know, I'm sure a good portion of them don't. So maybe they're just not aware of what that entails.
Or physically active. And maybe what they can do is lose weight with AIDS.
Stop it.
In the 1980s, there was diet candy that was marketed AYDS.
AIDS to help you lose weight.
No. AIDS helps you lose weight.
Yeah.
You can Google it and you can see all the hilarious commercials. And then one month, I got AIDS and I lost 22 pounds.
And then I died. Along with thousands and
of women
of
who
other
took
people.
Stimulants, too many stimulants. No, but so of course the, you know, then came along a little crisis called...
They converted GRID into AIDS.
You're confusing. Well, listen.
What?
There was a diet candy product called AYDS.
Yeah.
And so then the AIDS crisis came along. And so the company responded by remarketing their product as Diet AIDS. And so they went out of business.
People are like, you know, people are wasting away from this disease, losing weight. And they're like, why didn't they just change the name?
They were
altogether?
Running ads on television, you know, late night ads or primetime ads. And they're like, I lost 22 pounds with Diet AIDS. And just people were like, are these people like clueless? And they went out of business as a result. Like people are just like, you know, you'd buy as a gag gift. Yeah, so, like, because I was openly gay and out of the closet and had gay friends in the early 90s when AIDS was still being sold on shelves. And so for people's birthdays, you know, and we had a very dark sense of humor. Here's your AIDS. And actually, I actually tasted one of them. They're really good.
They were that fake chocolate flavor, though.
No, like Tootsie it was good. It was like a Tootsie Roll, but with caramel and a little bit of chocolate on the outside.
It would help you lose weight.
I was in Iceland and I got this candy that was black licorice and then a fruit layer covered in chocolate.
That sounds delicious.
That's what right up Mark's alley. You don't like it.
That's what those Good and Plenty's are like. Aren't Good and Plenty's like that?
No, it's just black licorice.
But they have a fruit shell. Isn't the shell kind of fruity or no?
I don't really think so.
Yeah, some places they just don't do candy right. I don't know if I would like that, but I might like it.
Yeah, it was weird. It was super weird.
Definitely sounds weird. So a family was thrown out of a pizza parlor in Texas because the mother went in to change the kid's diaper in the bathroom, but they didn't have a changing table there. So she thought, I'll just change it at the table. So she's out in the middle of the restaurant, changes her kid's diaper, and the smell so bad, everybody complained. And they asked her and her family to leave. They said, take your food and get out of here.
Wasn't there a family on a Intercontinental Airlines flight from China? And they were like, the kid just took a shit like on the seat, and the parents were like, whatever, you know. And it like stunk up the entire airplane ride, and for like 12 hours, where people were like, "Fuck!"
I know that's bad when you're on horrible. When you're on the plane and somebody farts, and it just it feels like it never goes away.
Yeah,
you know, you got to carry some of that like what is that stuff that morticians use when they deal with dead bodies? You put it underneath your nose, so you don't have to smell any of it.
Amen, move honey. On. I know. RuPaul just got crowned. Not just the supermodel of the world, but the queen of product placement by Adweek magazine.
Yeah, she's on the front cover.
Wow.
And they talked about how they integrate brands into RuPaul's Drag Race, like Absolute and the Scruff Pit Crew. And also they're doing something with Las Vegas.
You know, the Interior Illusions Lounge is actually brand marketing. Yeah, and like half the things that RuPaul says on that show is marketing for something. And why people are annoyed by it is because RuPaul makes it fun to imitate and poke fun of this weird, awkward product placement. And so I always say this is the power of drag queens to change the world, because we transform something stupid and annoying into something smart and fun.
But you see product integration on all those cooking shows, you know, when they're using those KitchenAid blenders and stuff like that. I'm sure a lot of that stuff is paid for.
Like Tom Goss's album, Wait, available on iTunes. Now, hopefully RuPaul will start doing that with her podcast and really cashing in. Because she is the queen of product placement.
And she has a podcast now?
Yeah.
She does it with Michelle.
Michelle drove RuPaul to start podcasting because of us. And she was literally...
We're taking credit for it.
Well, listen, she was like asking me all about it. And I sat her right point blank and I said, tell me you didn't do this because of us. And she said, yes, you do. Are you happy now?
So there's new reports coming out about Michael Jackson from some of the maids that worked at the Neverland Ranch. And they're saying that Michael Jackson, after 1993, when he had to pay that one boy $20 million for, because he was suing him for child molestation charges, the Michael was never the same after that, and they'd find like syringes around the place. Michael would just roam around the place babbling. At one point in time, he just like after Elizabeth Taylor left, he just like closed the front door and just peed right in the foyer. There was like half-eaten chicken bones in his bed, and his bed was so filthy they were like, please just let us change your sheets, and he didn't want them to clean. And it's like,
I heard he got really high one time and he tied Elizabeth Taylor naked to a wheelchair and kept saying, Elizabeth Taylor, you've been a really naughty girl. And so he put on an ET mask and says, now, instead of Elizabeth Taylor, your initials, ET. Now make me go home.
Talking about?
And then she went, Michael, take this thing. It's choking me. And then he pulled out his fried chicken and started eating and fell asleep on his bed.
That's a good story.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, according to this maid's report, it's like it was this den of decadence and chaos.
And he had bed bugs, and he's just like calling exterminator, like, we can just take care of it ourselves.
Regardless if you believe this or not, the message is cherish those who tell you no in life and keep them close to you, because they're the ones who are going to tell you taking propofol is a bad idea to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the people that sometimes, like your husband, you know, is somebody sometimes will just say no to you. And Michael Jackson never had somebody like that. They were all like, in some ways, in fear of his talent and his stardom and his ability to.
Well, it's hard make when money. Everybody's on the payroll. You know what I mean? Like
you don't want to rock
no
the
to
boat.
It's hard to say no to your boss.
Well, in Madonna, I hear like Madonna goes around and is like, I made more money for everybody in this room than I do what I fucking want.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Kabbalah, 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 Kabbalah. And then she's fine. But, you know, in the sense, you know, and the word, you know, spirituality is thrown around so much that it means nothing. But in a sense, it's about really cherishing the obstacles that you have in life. When things don't go your way, it sometimes opens an opportunity for growth and personal fulfillment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I ruptured my Achilles tendon 2 months ago. And I think that did a lot of that for me. It was so hard, but it was an opportunity. And I think, strangely enough, I really grew as a performer in having to crutch out to the middle of stages and perform. You know what I mean? I really had to own my singing and my songwriting in a way that I didn't have to before, because I was like this. Because
you couldn't run
fully
away.
Fully function yeah. being, you know. Now
when people are booing you, you can run away.
You had to be like, yeah, exactly. I'm here. I have to take it, no matter yeah. what happens.
So you can dodge the tomatoes.
I'm strangely grateful for that. Yeah, I feel like I learned a lot.
What do you mean,
lot.
Like that you had to step up your game because you were crippled, or in some sense?
You know, I think I'm a very active performer. I move around a lot, and I think that maybe I use that sometimes when I felt uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to do something that's really fun. You know what I mean? And people are going to go, oh, that guy, he's having a lot of fun. Now I'm having fun. You know what I mean?
I would say of all the musicians I know, and I'm not just kissing your ass, it's like you're probably one of the people that has the greatest ability to laugh at yourself and to be in situations that are challenging and out of your comfort zone and awkward. I mean, you know, being this movie Out to Kill, most people would have never done something like that.
Yeah.
And I love it because you're in this like campy killer gay movie playing this weird character that's like nothing like you. And you totally 100% gave yourself into the project.
Yeah, totally.
And other people, you know, we know musicians who would be like, that is not with my brand.
Yeah.
Steve Grant. Who might, you know, be
he might play a douchebag victim of a murder someday.
Oh, one can only hope.
I'd like to see him naked, too.
You know who's making a comeback?
Who?
You're going to get excited.
Robin Williams?
Fans? No, he's... Take that back, Mark.
I feel like most of the time
it hasn't. Listen, we just learned about this right before
5 minutes before,
so it
started.
Hasn't sunk in yet.
Sunk in yet? Duran Duran is getting back together for fans of the '80s. A Wild Boys reunion with their producer and one of the greatest songwriters and guitar players and bassists of pop music is Nile Rodgers. If you like Madonna, Donna Summer, Duran Duran, and many others more. I mean, Nile Rodgers is responsible for most...
How many hits does he have? Like 50 or 100 or something?
Just crazy. He put together the most recent hit was for Get Lucky for Daft Punk. So, you know, just this man throughout for decades have been cranking out hit songs after hit songs for all sorts of artists. And so he's one of the greatest living legends in music, and with Duran Duran, it's going to be a winning team. And they all kind of look good after all these years.
Well, it's amazing what millions of dollars can do to your lifestyle.
A little paint and a plastic surgeon can really lift your spirits and lift your tits. So I'm really looking forward to this. You know, on Facebook, some of our listeners are weighing in and asking Tom Goss for advice with their careers. Selena Monte Carlo. Hi, guys. I like to know what you, Tom, as well as Mark and Fausto, do when you feel like your efforts aren't really reaching your audience. Do you ever get to a point where you say, I'm tired of doing this. If no one's going to listen and watch, appreciate it, why do it? How do you get past that?
I don't know what that's like. What is that like?
Oh, what's it like not to be popular? Listen, and
the
adored?
Thing is like one of those things is you have to actually enjoy the work yourself, I think. And if you're enjoying the process, if you're enjoying creating this, then that's really what the most important thing is, you know, and people will come and they'll get it, you know.
And I think you have to focus on the people that are listening. One of the things that was helpful for me was I realized that every single time that I perform, there's like, what? 7 billion people not listening to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but like, what are they listening to?
But it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is you have to be doing this not because you want people to like the thing that you're doing. You have to be doing this because you want to do it. And the people that are listening to it and are responding to it, those are the people that you have to focus on. Otherwise, it's always going to be a negative cycle.
Well, and speaking for Selena directly, I would say, you know, I don't know what your attraction to being a drag queen and a video blogger is, but you know, for a lot of people, it's just the joy of transforming your appearance and then videotaping yourself in front of a camera looking different is something really exciting. And you know, I think Selena has, you know, struggled sometimes with what the message she wants to do. And my only advice is, if this is something you really enjoy doing, don't stop doing it just because there's 10 people watching it. Hey, 10 people watching it, that one person could be Bill Gates. You know? The other person could be...
He's probably playing with himself, Selena, so you might be weirded out a little bit.
Lady Gaga and Madonna and Nile Rodgers and the rest of the band of Duran Duran, that's 10 people watching your video. It does not matter the size of it. It matters the quality.
Well, then why are you making the video? Do you want the person to watch it? And this goes back to the previous point, because you want to be famous? Or do you want the person to watch it because you want to be creating something beautiful that people are respecting? I mean, I think that oftentimes when I get upset about that stuff, I have to step back and ask, what is it that's upsetting me? You know, where are my motivations lying? And sometimes that helps.
Is my motivation a selfish one? Is what you're saying? Like, sometimes
yeah, my motivation selfish, or is my motivation artistic and genuine?
Well, and I would say that for all performers and artists, there is a selfish element to it.
Totally.
And not acknowledging that is also not being honest with yourself, but it's about, what can I give to this crowd? And sometimes you can make the most delicious meal and light the candles and open the best bottle of wine you have and invite a man over for dinner, and he looks at your slop and says, no, thank you. Doesn't mean it wasn't a tasty meal.
Casio has a question for you, Tommy. He goes, I like writing songs as a hobby, but sometimes I find it really hard to finish them, especially when I have a nice chorus idea and can't really finish the verse because I fear wasting a good chorus on a so-so verse. How to solve the problem?
So I wrote 74 songs for Wait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wake up every morning and write. And sometimes I would have really great ideas, and they would evolve into so-so or shitty songs. And you know what? I would just finish the song. I get it. It's not going to be perfect, but it's only in writing and writing and writing and writing that you're going to get it. And I look through that book, and I'll see that, you know, songs 43, 44, and 44, 45 are very similar and have the similar idea. And it took me 43 and 44 of experimenting and trying to make it work for 45 to finally work and be like, that's a song. You know what I mean? So just create. Yeah, I'm sure your chorus idea is fantastic, but you know what? That's not your last idea. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. I think as artists, we our desire to make the best thing ever made stops us from creating a thing at all.
Do you start, like you say, I'm going to write songs this many hours a day, or do you just do it when you're inspired?
Well, for Wade, I would sit down and try to create every day. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like I did it at 8:30 in the morning every day. I would just sit down.
Because some people are very rigid about that kind of stuff.
And I think that's good. I think that's good. I mean, I was lucky enough to be home for a period of time, which is rare for me. So yeah, I just wrote every day, and I didn't, you don't put limitations on it. And to be honest, saying that this chorus is really great, the rest of it has to be just as great, is a limitation. Because anything you write isn't going to be as good as this chorus, because you put so much pressure and burden on making it as good. You know, your verses might be better than your chorus, but because of the way that you've approached it, you'll never be able to see that unbiasedly.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I don't know. To me, there's going to be people who are better at this than you.
Without a doubt.
You know, but look at Lady Gaga. I mean, you know, she's an extraordinary songwriter, and her last album's been garbage, you know, and and sometimes...
I'm sure some people liked it. You said some people it sold did like okay,
it.
Right?
It sold okay. It actually didn't sell very well.
Yeah, bomb.
I mean, it did average, you know, so compared to her last, her preceding albums, it wasn't a runaway hit, and, you know, I'm sure she's not sweating it. But part of it is, I think sometimes it's really looking at the frustration, the struggle that makes you a better person. We would not be able to do this podcast now if we had suddenly been thrusted into the limelight early on.
Totally.
And a lot of our guests on the show who've had years of experience in doing talk shows through this show have been grateful about the experience and have been able to say, this was my training ground.
Yeah.
You're all those performances that you've done all around the country were your training ground to do this album Wait.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And you know what? Wait is my training ground for whatever's coming next.
And I always tell this to all these young artists and drag queens and performers. your future you is an amazing, extraordinary person that deserves to exist. Make them come to life.
Yeah. Oh, that's a sweet that's sentiment. Great.
Otherwise, you're a selfish bitch.
But, you know, and in that same breath, like, don't be afraid of it. Like, don't fear becoming that thing, because that thing's not going to be good enough. You know what I mean? Speaking back to his point.
Who you are is good enough.
Oh, some sweet words.
That's what the transgender people say.
That's the mantra. Well, it's because, you know, people, when you're in transition, it's like people are like, when I get to that final destination, that's when I'll be like the person I want to be. But it's, so you have to like take it every day at a time and be like, the person I am today is good enough for me today. Because otherwise you're just focusing on the negative, and that's no way to go through life.
And yeah, absolutely. Love yourself unconditionally, but at the same time, you know, work to be a better person.
Exactly.
Tom... where are you going to be performing?
Well, I'm in Cleveland soon. On Wednesday.
Okay.
So if you're at the Gay Games, come see me.
Awesome.
Yeah. Are the Gay Games happening right now?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, fuck. But, one more time, I missed that. Because it's so easy to win the Gay Games.
Not like the Olympics. Those are actually hard. Yeah, the president recorded a greeting for all the people coming.
Okay, yeah, cool.
He's like, welcome to
the Gay Games.
The Gay Games.
First we have president. Fisting, then Obama. We have spit roasting.
No, so basically, like, it's a generic Obama greeting, and then they have a robotic voice changing the time and location. To the city of Cleveland, Ohio. The LGBT community.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
It's like a subway stop.
You have now arrived at LGBT Games. I was like, no, it's the Gay Games.
I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your help. So if you're not a premium subscriber yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
Tom Goss. Extraordinary what you've done. I love that you listen to every bit of advice we give you, and you take it.
Aww.
You never say anything inappropriate or wrong.
It took him a long time to take his shirt off, though. We've been bugging him for years.
I wanted to listen. The thing about it is, I feel like as a singer, as a musician, or as an artist, you work to make your art the person you already are. And so I always tell people, like, I don't know what to video blog about, or I don't know what to do a performance on. And I'm like, just look at your Facebook status updates.
I thought you were going to say, just look at your face.
Well, or Facebook.
What are you interested in?
Look at what you're already doing and what you're saying, and build your songs about that. You got really mad at me one time because we were hanging out and you said something really funny, and I just like tweeted it.
I did? I got mad at you?
You got mad at me, yeah. I can't remember what the tweet was. And you were like, you're probably going to tweet that and take credit for it. And I was like,
Oh, that was probably on our Washington, D.C. trip.
Yes, you were so pissed off.
I don't know. Maybe I was bad. Maybe if it was inappropriate. I don't know.
It wasn't inappropriate. It was just something really funny that you just wrote. And I was like, are you going to tweet it? And you're like, nah. And I was like, well, I'm going to tweet it. And then you got all mad because I got...
It's just hard. I'm just so funny all the time. It's hard for me to, like... parse out what I want to
and humble
and
too
and humble so humble
and generous with your lips
and your singing. Are you gonna leave us with a song here?
Yeah, so let's talk about the new single,
you don't have to sing it,
which is Illuminate the Dark. And if you
don't have to do that, if you don't
yeah
want
I'm
to.
Gonna do it I'm gonna do
no,
it
no it's fine it's
you
okay.
can't stop me. We have to be illuminated.
What?
We have to become illuminated.
All right. Turn the lights up. Tom's going to play.
So if you haven't seen the music video, check it out. It's got some really awesome people in it, including Laurie Duran, who writes Raising My Rainbow, and Alex Minsky, who you've probably...
That's her kid in the video.
Yeah.
So we finally see CJ, the little gender nonconforming boy.
Yeah.
Because we had interviewed her years ago, and I think she stopped blogging for a little while, then came back at it.
Yeah, her stuff's amazing. Yeah. It's really inspiring. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so turn down the lights, sweet darling, because tonight Tom Goss takes you all the way.
Aw. Goodbye.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
When I hold your hand, it's my second skin, so hold your heart, oh, like porcelain, and I'll fall in love all over again. You know you're coming with, so it's true, it's not forever, cause our bones will fall apart. So let's take the time we have to shine, illuminate the dark. When I greet the dawn, I hear you fumbling, bathroom light on, water in the sink, now you enter in. Now I can commence another day, my friend. So it's true, it's not forever, cause our bones will fall apart. So let's take the time we have to shine, illuminate the dark. Now we're back in bed. Another day is spent, hand in my hand, and it's all right again. It's a simple thing, how two souls can fit, forever lies in this. So in truth this is forever, cause our bones were just the start. So let's take the time we have to shine, illuminate, illuminate, illuminate the dark.